Well, holidays are always a time of remembrance. Valentine's Day, Memorial Day, July, the 4th of July, and Thanksgiving and Christmas time. And then we've just celebrated New Year's, you know, and we remembered the old year. And we remembered the past blessings and had to say goodbye to a lot of them and say hello to a new year to come. Well, in this chapter of Job, chapter 29, Job reflects on his blessings. But there are blessings in the past that he wants to go back to. He would love to go back to his blessings. Back to, I long for the days of old, you know, the months of old. He wants to go back. And he says, how I long for the months gone by. Those things that are past. And in his loss and his grief and his illness, he was remembering, or this time of remembrance was painful to him. And it makes me think of this verse that came out of Tennyson. It matches what Job was saying here. Tennyson said this in one of his poems. This is the truth, the poet sings, that a sorrow's crown of sorrow is remembering happier things. That pretty much captures what Job was feeling. But grief can overshadow our better sense, our deeper understanding. Job once said this, he said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. But now his mourning has overcome his praise. Now we should follow that earlier example that Job had of praising God in the midst of our losses, in the midst of our pain. Because recalling past blessings with praise prepares us, it inspires us to have faith in God for the future. To have faith in God. Now this pattern of chapter 29, this pattern of his lamenting, it's actually a really good pattern for us to guide us in praising God. In praising God for former spiritual blessings. And I would like to read it again. It's there in front of you, so you can actually read it in the worship folder. Job continued his discourse. How I long for the months gone by, for the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone upon my head, and by his light I walked through darkness. Oh, for the days when I was in my prime, when God's intimate friendship blessed my house, when the Almighty was still with me and my children were around me, when my path was drenched with cream and the rock poured out for me streams of olive oil. He was remembering past blessings, and remembering past times of blessings is good. It is really good. God gave us memory for a reason. We recall times of God's protection. He said, God watched over me. Times of guidance. By his light I walked. Times of divine fellowship. God's intimate friendship blessed my house. My children were around me. Divine presence. The Almighty was still with me. And divine provision. My path was drenched with cream and the rock poured out for me streams of olive oil. He was thinking of all these past blessings. And if you read the book of Job at the very beginning, there was no man blessed like Job. God really blessed him, and that's why he became a target for Satan's attack. But in remembering all these, we must say goodbye. We have to take these blessings and say goodbye to these blessings with praise. With praise. Job looked back regretfully at this point, at this stage of his lament. He looked back regretfully, knowing that he couldn't go back to these things. Praise, in contrast, gets us ready for the future, to keep us having a forward look. So, is this the truth? The poet sings that a sorrow's crown of sorrows is remembering happier things. That may be for some people, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be that way. Grief can review past happiness with sadness, or with happiness, with appreciation. There was a man whose son died at age 21, and he was unable to overcome his mournful grief that was in his heart until one day his minister asked him, "If you had been offered the choice of having him 21 years or not at all, which would you have chosen?" But that was all he needed. That changed him. When storm clouds come, they don't have to dim the joy of reviewing God's past blessings. Recalling past blessings with praise inspires faith in God, in God for the future. Faith in the future, not faith in the future, but faith in God for what's in store for us in the future. We don't want to follow Job's pattern of regret, but we do see this pattern of remembrance in chapter 29. It can guide us in praising God for former days of prominence. Now, some people say, "Well, I was never prominent." Well, occasionally we have been. Look at what Job says here. When I went to the gate of the city and took my seat in the public square, the young men saw me and stepped aside, and the old men rose to their feet. The chief men refrained from speaking and covered their mouths with their hands. The voices of the nobles were hushed, and their tongues stuck to the roof of their mouths. Whoever heard me spoke well of me, and those who saw me commended me. Men listened to me expectantly, waiting in silence for my counsel. After I had spoken, they spoke no more. My words fell gently on their ears. They waited for me as for showers and drank in my words as the spring rain. When I smiled at them, they scarcely believed it. The light in my face was precious to them. I chose the way for them, and I sat down as their chief. I dwelt as a king among his troops. I was like one who comforts mourners." Now, we may never have reached those kinds of prominence, but think back. Try to remember. Do you remember any time when you got to ride in the front seat of the car? I mean, you weren't just in the back. You get to ride shotgun. Wasn't that just fun for you? That was the first place. That's prominence. Well, how about a time when you had something to say that was really important, and people listened to you? Didn't you feel like, "Well, they listened to me. They heard what I said and they liked it"? Well, Job is reviewing that kind of stuff. Was there a time when you remember people clapping for something you did? I'm sure there is. There's something you did, or maybe even with a group you were with, and that people were clapping and you were bowing or whatever, you were blushing maybe. Do you remember ever getting picked as a leader? Or maybe it was just in a game, but you were picked as a leader. It was prominence, you know? Well, Job recalled all these things. And he also recalled his benevolent habits, because he was a righteous man. It says in verse 12 through 17, "I rescued the poor who cried for help, and the fatherless who had none to assist. The man who was dying blessed me. I made the widow's heart sing. I put on righteousness as my clothing. Justice was my robe and my turban. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy. I took up the case of the stranger. I broke the fangs of the wicked and snatched the victims from their teeth." Wow. You know, we may not have reached those habits of benevolence in our lives, but we probably remember times that we did do what our heart told us to do. In verse 14, he said that his righteousness and justice were habitual. They had become habits, not just talk. And I thought about that, and I made up a little quote. I think you should remember this. It's a good one. "A creed indeed is a creed indeed." What do you think of that? A creed indeed is a creed indeed. I hope you get that. It may take a while. But he had shown righteous compassion. That's what he had done with his life. He had ministered with righteous compassion, a right action toward those who were in need, the poor, the fatherless, the dying, the widow, the stranger, the needy, victims of injustice. Prestige in the ancient civilizations, prestige in the ancient East anyway, was weighed in terms of social involvement. So do the helpless have anyone but God? The helpless are without anyone but God. And so if you choose to be godlike, you're going to help them. They look to God to help. Those who are helpless. Nobody has any help and they look to God. Well, when you act like that, you're acting in a godlike way to come to their aid. But can you hear Job's heart? Can you hear his heart? Oh! How I long for the months gone by when I was known for my care of those in need. But look, now I stand in utter need myself. Even God has abandoned me. Is this truth, the poet sings? Is this truth, the poet sings? Corrie ten Boom's story is a really good one to set beside the story of Job. What did she get for participating in rescuing Jews from Nazi oppression? What did she get? Well, she suffered tragedy and brutality in a concentration camp. She lost everything: home, family, possessions, status, security. But through these losses, she said the Lord taught her, hold on to everything loosely. Don't grip tight. Hold on to everything loosely, able to say goodbye and welcome with open hands what God has to give you. She said that he never had to pry open my hands from a tight grip. And that's important. That's important because sometimes that tightness, it hurts. Because we get a cramp in our hands and we can't even open them because the cramp is so bad. We've held on so tightly so long. We need to hold on loosely. God has a future for us to meet with faith if we recall our past blessings with praise and release them back to Him with praising Him for the future and the future prospects. I'll just read this part of verses 18 through 20. I thought, I will die in my own house, my days as numerous as the grains of sand. My roots will reach to the water, and the dew will lie all night on my branches. My glory will remain fresh in me. The bow will ever be new in my hand. Wow. You know, doubtful circumstances, they can rob us. It robbed Job of his faith and for the future. He was thinking of those things that he had thought before. This will be my life. And now he's despairing of having a life, having a long life. He thinks that this is the end. It wasn't, but this is what he thought. You know, long life is not the treasure. I mean, you guys are rich if that's the treasure. And we are rich in some ways. Rich in life, rich in days, but what is really important is a life that is long and useful to the Lord. Doing things for others, blessing others' lives, and praising God for those blessings that He has brought into ours all through our lives. And Job despaired of further blessing. He did not believe there would be any more to the story. This is where it ends, in despair and no hope. Well, he despaired of strength to go on. In another part of Job, in verse 11 of chapter 30, he says, God has unstrung my bow. He has unstrung my bow. There's no more fight left in me. That was a pretty dismal situation. Doubtful circumstances are in our lives sometimes that cause doubt. They're full of doubt. But they lose control over our thinking when we praise the Lord. In the presence of praise, those doubts can't hold on to us, can't control us. And often that praise is a sacrifice. That praise is hard to do in the midst of the pain and the suffering and the sorrow. To praise God in the midst of it is hard to do. And yet, this is victory. And it strengthens our faith to go on. That sacrifice is described in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Therefore, by Him, by Christ, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. The fruit of our lips. And sometimes what we have to do is to do it out loud. To do it out loud. Even if it's not really, really loud, but a whisper. Oh Lord, I thank You for the past, even though I'm hurting right now from missing it. Harry Garraby, I guess his name is pronounced Garraby, he wrote a devotional book of about the study of Job, but it was devotional. And he has this prayer for readers to read. Dear Lord, help me not to let the shadows of the present dim or obscure the sunlight of the past. Help me not to live this day regretfully, but joyfully. Joyfully. Never wallow in regret, longing for the months gone by, wishing to go back, to return to the blessings of the past. Instead, put on the godly seal of praise on every single blessing, on all the blessings of the former days, praising God for former spiritual blessings, praising God for days of former spiritual or former prominence when you were sort of a leader or in the core, and praising God for future prospects, that God is going to be faithful to us if we are faithful to Him. And sometimes when we're not faithful, He's still faithful. Praise recalls in our past blessings the faithfulness of God, who gave those blessings to us. Praise prepares us to meet the future with faith, that God will bring us through every doubtful circumstance of life. He will do it. He's that kind of God. So let's remember our past blessings with praise this year. This time of the year, when we're so close to New Year's that we have to say goodbye to the past year and what happened in the past year and other past times of our lives. And if we do that, it will inspire us and strengthen our faith in God for the future. Let's do that. Father God, we want to commit our hearts to You, and I want everyone to join in this prayer with me. Lord, that we will praise You every day, that we will give thanks to Your name for all that You've brought into our lives, all the past blessings that we now sometimes miss. And I pray, Father God, that we will look to the future with faith that is strengthened, faith that is inspired by Your Holy Spirit, faith in the future, because we have faith in You. Thank You in Jesus' name.